them out. So I still do it. My church, we have one entrance in my church. There's one door in and out, and the ladies, because I have like three of them that they know. They come in. I'm like, hey, Miss Kenesha, how are you? Hey, Miss Jay, how are you doing? Yes, they're black. Okay, with the name Kenesha, and I'll come in, and they know that I'm going to call them out. So they'll try to sneak in. And I'd say, hey, good to see you. So that's something I picked up in Costa Rica that I'm going to carry with me the rest of my life. So I saw Matt coming late, so I wanted to say hi to Matt. How are you doing, Matt? Good to see you. All right, let's start with a word of prayer, first of all. Dear Lord, thank you for this day you've given us. Lord, I'm thankful for everyone that came out of there or took time out of their day to come here from your word. Lord, they could be at home enjoying the rest of their weekend, trying to rest up for the work week ahead, but they decided to come to your house, and I'm thankful for that. Lord, I ask if you'd bless them. I ask if you'd just bless this time. Lord, please just speak through me. I ask this in your name, and amen. All right. Dad gave me a very last-minute introduction. We were going to church this morning in Rensselaer. We were, 5 minutes from church? And Dad's like, you doing Sunday school, right? Was it 6 minutes? Dad goes, are you doing Sunday school, right? I said, what? like, I've been up since 2 a.m. I got like 5 hours of sleep. So he asked me to just kind of give an update. So I don't think I'm really going to preach tonight. I'm just giving an update. So I know you guys are excited. I'm not preaching. So my church people are always happy when I don't preach. So they're like, can we get someone else, please? No. It is a blessing being here, and something that before I jump into the update, something that God's really been working on me lately, since basically last Christmas time, is being nicer, because all of you that grew up with me know how nice I am. So, but being nicer, but also is being thankful and being kind. It's something that's really that I've been working on a lot lately. I told my mom just left. Man, it's pretty bad when your own mother leaves when you're up to preach. It's like, oh man, because my confidence is up here and now it's down. But she heard. Yeah, I heard you twice this morning. I still sat there. I might have put my phone on, texted a couple times, but Jen was talking with someone about something. Was talking to me about something last year, and I tried incorporating this. Where has anyone ever heard? It's a book called The Thousand Gifts. So I never heard of that. It's kind of like a chicky book. I didn't read it. I looked at it, and it's a really chicky cover, so I just put it down. But the idea was good. And the thing is, you write down every day three different things you're thankful for. And you're supposed to get to 1,000 without repeating. So that's a tricky thing. And yeah, it was difficult. First of all, I went God and then Jesus. No. But it's not supposed to be anything spiritual. It's designed to make you look around and notice God's creation and be thankful for that. And so I've discovered as I have been doing that, I actually am up. I just made it over 1,000. I'm like at 1,000. I got to do my three for the day. So I'm at 1,021. And I discovered as I'm doing that everything opens up to me more. And you realize things. So I want to start off, and I do this at my church a lot now. I don't call people, I thank them. So before I start, Mrs. Ski, I want to thank you. You have been faithfully playing the piano for as long as I've been here. And honestly, if you don't have a good piano player, your church is dead, okay? Thank the Lord God gave me. I have Joab and Kira, and so that's good. But the person before, the pastor before where we're at now, his wife could not play the piano. But she could, but she could only play like in the minor key, so everything was singing down here, because the middle key was stuck. So she instantly went like, amazing grace. And she was not a good piano player. So Mrs. Key, thank you for that. I appreciate all the years you have done. And it's a very thankless job, and we only notice you when you mess up, which is very rarely. So... which is very, very rarely. But I want to thank you for that. We have a friend, he's up in Ghent, about an hour 15 from where we're at, and they do not have a piano player, and they're bad. Like, this isn't being recorded, right? Just make sure. Okay. But I covered for him. We can edit that out. But there'll be times where they'll go up there and play the piano, and it's like, and you just... You want to be Christian, but you also want to laugh at the same time at him. So thank you, Mrs. Ski. I do appreciate that. I want to thank the Richardsons as well. You guys, I know, I told my dad, in August, it's been 15 years since we left Indiana and went out. And I know every time I come back, you guys are always here. And the Phillips, you're always here. Mike, you're always here. And I'm thinking, for the last 15 years, Sam and Libby, you're always here. And it's a blessing to see your faithfulness. So I do thank you for that. And everyone, if I missed you, I didn't do it on purpose, okay? It's just because I didn't like you, okay? And the Montells as well. You guys have been here since I've left, I think, right? Yeah, you guys have been here. And I know every time I come, I'll see you guys. 21 years. Here you go. I know some of them are newer. You guys are newer. Martinez weren't here when we left, right? Most of them are Lenny. You guys weren't here. So, Matt, you've been here as well. So, I'm going to thank you guys for your faithfulness. It's a blessing. Pastor can only go so far if he doesn't have a congregation. So, it's something I've been working at my church, and we do that, and we do something we do every time before I preach. Every Sunday morning, I say, God is good, and all the congregation says all the time, and then I say all the time, God is good. So, they did it this morning for me. They sent me a video. They took a video and sent it for me, so that was a blessing. So, the ministry in Belgium is a lot different. So, we spent 5 years in Costa Rica, and it's completely different now. Passing out tracts is completely different. Witnessing is completely different. The language is completely different. I was telling Brother Gonzalez there, it's French is a very fruity language, so it really is. You don't feel very manly speaking French. Like in Spanish, you say mucho gusto, right? Nice to meet you. In French, you say enchanté, which is you feel like a fruitcake saying enchanté, nice to meet you, right? It's like, you really do. It's like, oui, oui. And it's something else I can't get used to is the guys cheat kiss each other. It's like, oh, that just, our neighbor got Joab the first time, and Joab just went straight solid like that. It's like, he's like, he looks at me, he's like, what's he doing? It's like, he's saying hi. It's like, he likes us, okay? So it's a little bit different, but it's been good. It's been a blessing. We've not had much success with the French people coming to church, but that's okay. We had the military is going, church is going very well. I'm on my almost third year. We've been there almost 3 years now, which is surprising. I can't believe we've been there that long. 5 years in Costa Rica. Actually, in January, we'll be on the mission field for 9 years. So I did not realize we've been gone that long, and it's different. But with the military ministry, we have, I know, who all? I know, you served, Miss Lisa, you served Army. You were Army. You were what? Were you? You were, yeah. You're still active duty, aren't you? 65 years. 65. It's the undercover ops there, man. You're getting like special forces, man. Look at that guy. You were Army, weren't you, Brother Martinez? You were Army? So, who was Navy? Oh, I thought you were Army. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. I'm sorry. I know it's a battle there. But in our church, we have, is anyone else? Am I missing anybody? I think so. First of all, thank you all for your service, what you did for us. I appreciate that. We have a lot of Army in our church. We have one Navy person in our church. We have several Air Force in our church as well. And church's been going really well all year long. It's been really full. And it's kind of weird in the summertime. There, everyone travels. Everyone leaves. It's like dead zone because it's so cheap to travel over there. So everyone leaves. But even this summer, we've still been about 70% full. So once, and everyone's, half of them are gone. So we've had so many visitors. I'm kind of wondering when everyone comes back if I'm going to have any room for anybody. So, but that's a good blessing. That's a blessing that we have that many people. And the only downfall in ours is a little bit difficult, is I constantly lose people. Our song leader, we just lost our song leader. Where is him? We just lost our song leader last week. So I have a younger guy. He led singing for today. It was his first time. Jen sent me a video. He's never led before. He's almost tone deaf. And he led like this. And he's singing like this. And at the very last verse, he goes, they walked off. But he's a great guy. I love Aaron. God has sent us some really good people. I usually get them 2 to 3 years. So I'm losing my deacon in September. I lost my song leader last week. I lost another family in November. I lost one family in January. I lost another lady in June. They just all move around. And God brings other ones in. So he's actually been bringing them in faster than they're leaving. So that is nice. It's nice. I don't have big gaps everywhere. But it does take its toll on the family a little bit. As like our song leader, his oldest daughter is Vienna's age. And they're best friends. And they leave. And it's hard as a father to watch them leave. And you watch them crying, and it does hurt you as a father. It's like, man, because like my fault they're here. But then I tell my kids, like, let's look on the bright side, that if we'd never been here, God never let our paths cross. So that is it. We're learning how to change our mindset about that. If we didn't have everyone, I'm on my third congregation there, literally. I'm on my third congregation there, because everyone moves in and out all the time. And it's kind of weird because you come here, we're all like-minded, right? We all have the same, pretty much the same standard of music and dress and Bible and everything else. And there I have a mixture. You would not believe the mixture I have. For those of you that know me, you guys wouldn't believe this. I pastor a predominantly black church. My church is about 65% black. You guys probably don't believe that, but it's pretty funny. I got a good contingent of Latinos as well. And yes, I got a few white people. Not that many, but I got a few white people. I just lost my Asian. My song leader is my only Asian. So he was. We were joking last Sunday. We were joking that. He's going to put an ad in there. We're going to put an ad on AFN looking for an Asian family to join our church, because we're trying to stay completely diverse and try to get everybody in. But just the people that God puts in our lives, it's amazing. And we bring them in here, and I'm teaching them how to love the love. We have a thing we do at our church. We love God, love His Word, and love people. That's what we try to do. That's our goal. That's my focus in these 3 years. I had these people to do that. And you guys don't realize it, but churches around the states really don't—they don't really reach out like evangelistic. They don't do things. They don't preach. They don't go pass out tracts. And so, as people come into our church, we've been teaching them. We've been teaching them to do that. And God sent a younger couple. I think they came in March or April. And he's just on fire. He led the singing this morning. I put him in charge of church evangelism. So every month we go out street preaching. And so I got these. We have the American signs there with the. I think you have one in your door there, right? Do you get a lot of people saved walking up to your front door? I'm just joking. But we got them in French. So we go out there and we hold them out up there, and we went last Saturday. And I told my deacon, I told Brother Steve, I said, we really should start charging people. It's like, we're like personal trainers, because we try to pass out a track, and man, they almost run from us. It's like, they have new personal bests, how they're power walking. Like, whoo, and they try to walk them like that. And so our kids will chase them down and try to pass out tracks. But last week we had a group of people walking around on stilts. It's really big to do that. I don't know why. I guess it's a cool thing. I've never learned it. But like 9-foot people were on walking out there, or they're walking around out there, and we're trying to pass out tracks to them. And there's a bachelorette party there going on. And they were kind of antagonistic towards us, not like obnoxiously, but kind of standing there making fun of us. And then they saw the people on stilts, and they wanted to take a picture. So they're standing there, and I had this holding a sign, and I photobombed them behind them and stood like this as they're taking pictures, and Aaron sitting there just laughing his head off as I'm doing that. And so Aaron preaches, I preach, and Brother Steve, my deacon, preaches. And like I said, a lot of the people have never really passed out tracts before. Last year, in the summertime, I did a theme. It's something we do. We'll do a theme every week. Like, all right, we have passed out a track. And so we pass out a track. We'll say, 1 week we say pass out a track to somebody in a uniform. The next week we say pass out a track to somebody with a mustache. Then I had to say, okay, only men with mustaches. The ladies got mad, and we tried to pass them out. Pass out a tract to someone in a red shirt or someone pushing a stroller. And that actually really got them, because it just kind of made them look for opportunities to pass out tracts. And they all got into it. And I set a goal, like, we want to pass out 2,000 tracts as a church. And we flew right past that. It was awesome. It was really awesome. That's not even counting the Olympics that we tracked last year, too. So that was, yeah, we did that. I guess it's been a couple of years since I've been here, hasn't it? It's only my second time not coming to church without my grandpa being here. It's a little sad. I went to Rensselaer this morning for the first time without Brother Delmer, and now it's grandpa's second time. So it's a little different. People tend to live their lives when I'm gone. I don't know why. It's kind of rude of you guys. I leave, all these kids are over here, just tall, and then I come back, and they're all taller than me. So that didn't take much, but they got there, right? I was a little sad about that, too. But last year, we had the Olympics. In Lille, France, the preliminaries for the basketball was in Lille, France, about an hour from our house. So I took my deacon and Jen and my deacon's wife. We went out there first, and we passed out tracts. We got a few thousand out, and it was just awesome because all these people were walking by from all over the world, and we didn't know we weren't supposed to stand there. We stood right by the players' entrance where all the players were going in. And this big old dude from South Sudan was walking by, like 9 feet tall, had 7 fingers in each hand. No, he's Goliath's brother, right? And Jen passed him a track and he took it. And then the cops chased us out of there. But so we didn't know we weren't supposed to be there. So we went down the street, but we were able to pass out a lot of tracks there. And it's just, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, the fact that we're able to do that. And God has really blessed us. Looking around, you're like, you look at the fact that things we get to do for God. I tell my people at church, it's like, we don't have to go to church. We don't have to read our Bible. We don't have to witness to say we get to. So there's a huge difference. And I got my church people are saying that. And I was like, we get to go street preaching now. So we went out. We have several black families in church. And last week we went out. And like three of the teenagers went with us. And one of the teenagers tried to pass on a track to somebody and they turned him down. And he goes, it's because I'm black, isn't it? It's like, no, Elijah, it's because they don't want a track. That's why. Nothing to do with your color, okay? But they love goofing around like that. If you haven't been around black people, they are hilarious. They're amazing people. And I've discovered this about them is they witness more than white people witness. They bring people to church more than white people bring them to church. They really do. They bring them all to church, and I have... We don't do it on purpose, but all the black people sit on this side and all the white people sit on this side. I was like, sit together, guys, come on. It's like, quit segregating, okay? This is driving me nuts over there. So they all sit together, but it's a church that we just truly love each other. I didn't realize this, but my youth leader told me, apparently our church has gained a reputation over the last 5 or 6 months of just being a church that will just love on you the moment you walk in. And I guess all the bases know that we love each other, and they'll come in, and there's people sit there and look at us because when Joab was here with you guys, he was like, man, it's like those white Yankees are so boring. It's like we have handshaking time here. Us, it takes 5 to 7 minutes to get done in handshaking time, just because everyone. I'm not a hugger, but everyone gives you a big sweaty hug because we don't have air conditioning. Our building's really small, and we're packed out to the gills. But everyone gives everyone a hug, and everyone just says we love each other. And just, I've discovered once I started changing my mindset of looking for thankfulness and truly being kind. What does the Bible say? Ephesians 6:32, and be ye kind one to another. And that's something that, what, 4:32, you're right, there is no, yeah, Ephesians 4:32. Hey, I've been up since for a while, okay? And I hate to say this because I hate Christmas music, okay? I really do. I'm not my dad, but I'm pretty close to my dad. Pretty close. I'm a pessimist. I'm not nice to anybody. I am my father. Okay, no, I'm joking. No, I did notice last year, though, when I became my dad, I was coaching a baseball team. And I said, all right, we're going to line up for batting practice. And the kid ran up and said, I'm first. I said, no, you're last. And I'm like, oh, I just became my father. It's like right there. But I'm not a Christmas music thing, but Jen loves her Christmas music. And I was washing the dishes like a good husband, okay? Guys, take a note, okay? I was slaving away over the dishes, washing it. Like, yes, honey, anything else I can do? No, I don't. I'm meddling. But I was washing the dishes, and I heard this song came on, and singing about Christmas. I'm like, what a stupid song. And so I'm just, you know, being grumbling like the Scrooge I am, the humbug I am. And the song said something about being kind at Christmas time. And it's like God just turned a light bulb on my head. Like, why are we only being kind at Christmas time? And it really struck a light with me. And it's like, man, I need to work on being kind. And not just to other people, not just to Christians, but to everybody. And so that's something that I've noticed, that the more I pour out into my people, the more love I pour out into my people, the more kindness I pour out into them, they go out and pour out to everyone else. And it's really, actually, our church, I'm not exaggerating, it has grown exponentially ever since I have focused on that. Focused on my thankfulness, focused on being kind, and focused on loving other people. I've just discovered our church has just exploded. I mean, we're a tiny church, and I have a very small pond I'm fishing from. And we're having 60 to 70 people every week. We're having people stand along the edge, the backs of the walls, because I have no seats. And if I didn't have everyone move out, we'd already have a church of over 100. But everyone's always constantly moving out. But it's like I discovered once I just did that, it really made a whole difference. And as Christians, that's what we're called to do. And I know as Baptists, we're the bad attitude Baptists, blowout, stuff like that, right? Which is fine. It's okay. But we kind of get a chip on our shoulders, and that's not necessarily that needs to be there. And that's just something I have discovered. I'm not becoming Pentecostal, okay? I promise. I'm not becoming lovey-dovey, I promise. So, and we still give it to them when they need it. We still give them the truth. But like even like Dad was saying this morning, we claim persecution because we're being a jerk. It's not persecution. It's because we're being a jerk, okay? When we street preach, do it with love and do it with kindness. And that's what I've taught my people. But does anyone have any questions or anything? Oh, that's what I was going to say. Because I have some minutes. I'm not able to be there on a missionary visa, unfortunately. Dad was talking about Muslims this morning. Has anyone ever really, I know you have. Where are you at? You moved around. No. But how long ago were you there? Yes, and where were you stationed?
Well, I was stationed in Germany, but I was in Saudi Arabia and Iraq for 6 months.
Okay, but like how long ago? I'm not trying to age you or anything. Okay. I was 8 years old at that time. 9 years old at that time. Ooh, good one. Couch time for Derek. No, it's okay. So it probably wasn't as bad back then, but there are Muslims everywhere. Everywhere. And I can't get a missionary visa because all the Muslims came in Belgium and took them all. And the government said, no more religious visas. I have to work a part-time job. So I work as a maintenance man at the hotel, at the Army Lodge there. I work for the Army. So I fix toilets a lot. Spend a lot of time in other people's bathrooms, huh?
Elaborate on that.
So all my coworkers are Belgian. They don't speak any English. So I've learned all the bad words in French, which are very similar to Spanish, by the way. So if you need to be cussed out in three languages, I'm your man, okay? There we go. But I work with a bunch of Belgians, and well, work's a strong word for them. They don't do the work. I do the work. But if anyone wants to do socialism, you need to leave America, okay? Because socialism does not work. One person does all the work, and everyone else sits around. I'm living proof of that because I am the one. But they have their phrase. They always say, "Ce n'est pas possible." Does anyone know what that means, Mr. French? "Ce n'est pas possible." It is not possible. That's what they say. It is not possible. That's their favorite phrase to say. It is not possible. We'll say, and I'll tease them, and I'll be like, "Hey, we got to go do this right now." "Oh, it is not possible." And I hear that about 10 times a day. So it's my favorite phrase in the whole world. I say it all the time at the house. I'm like, "It is not possible." It's a church joke, actually. So it's like, "What are we guys getting? I'll be like, "Can we, let's turn our Bibles here." And like someone's like, "It is not possible." It's like, "Shut up, guys." I about got killed last Monday, though, at work. We have I told you about that lady. We've had a lady come to church the last couple of weeks, and she came to church again today. And I go there, and what we do is we have tickets. Like, we have fix something in someone's room. I go in there and I fix it. And this lady goes to our church. She's been going to our church the last couple weeks. And Monday morning, I have to go in there. It happens to be her room. Her microwave is broken, so I'm trying to fix it. And she's in there talking to me, and her little girl's there, and her husband's here in the States. And her little girl's sitting there with an iPad, and it starts ringing. And the little girl answers the phone, or answers the iPad, and says, "Hi, Daddy." And the first thing she does, she turns around, "Look, there's a man in our room." I'm like, "Maintenance man, I'm fixing the microwave. Maintenance, I'm going to leave right now." I have not been that uncomfortable in years. It's like, I was gone. It's like, it says my name right here. It says maintenance right underneath it. So I'm going to go kill that kid. I'm like, "What's wrong with you?" That was awkward. But so I have to work there. Joab just got a job. He's working there. He works on the NATO base. I work on the American base. Gabby works on the NATO base as well. So the family's doing well. Jen's doing well. I think you guys just saw him a few months ago, right? So yeah. So I don't need to update on them. But but other than that, Lord's been really good. Church is going well. Please pray though that we do find a new song leader, because I don't want to song lead. I am not a good song leader, so we don't want to scare everyone around or scare everyone away. We have, because of our church, I started talking about this a little bit earlier, because of where we're at, and there's not tons of opportunity or tons of different churches, we tend to get a whole group of people in. So I have several Pentecostals. I have a few Africans as well that they came. I think like you did. They came and they work for they go in the join the military, and then they get legal status citizenship there. That's what a lot of them are doing as well. I have a lady from Haiti and a lady from Trinidad and two Liberians and what else? A Filipino family that just left. someone from Guyana, someone from Nicaragua, the family from the DR. So they're from all over the world, El Salvador. So they're all over the world. And so they're bringing all that kind of stuff in, like some of the kind of the Pentecostal stuff in there, and I have to fight all that stuff off, and it gets a little bit interesting. So sometimes we get a little window. I don't get window washing. A couple of them get a little window washing there. So the windows are clean in the church, okay. but we only sing hymns. I have a couple of them. One lady asked me. She's like, "Oh, who's gonna lead songs?" And my brother Keith left. I said, "Well, I'm not sure yet." She goes, "We should have a praise team." I said, "We should not." Definitely no. And you can't lead it, okay? I did have a Dutch lady in church that she got very mad that I didn't let her lead the praise team, so she left church over it. But she thought that women should be in ministry, and I told her, well, they can, but not in this church. Ain't gonna happen here. So does anyone have any questions or anything about...
Tell about how much the Belgian people don't work.
Yeah,
How many days they got off through the year?
Oh, they get 200 paid. They get 200 paid days off each year.
How many?
200. Yes. You know how many I get? I get 2 hours of pay period. I get 4 hours a month. Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. And then they complain. I don't know. I don't know what they do. They don't shower, that's for sure. Oh, yeah. They're stinky. I won't go there. I'll get in trouble. Yes, ma'am.
Brett, are you telling me that you have black congregants and you can't find a song leader?
They don't know hymns.
Teach
them. I have one guy. I have brother Pete Peterson. He's going to preach for me this morning. The problem is he shows up 20 minutes late every Sunday, so that doesn't really work. Yes, sir. Yes. Me? No. Yeah, I said no. I get 4 hours a month. I'm an American. Go back to work, American. It's the French. But they also get taxed like 60% of their income right off the top. Yes. Yeah. Taxed like crazy. So, do you have any questions or anything? Yes, ma'am.
So the services are in English?
Yes. The services are in English. We honestly, Belgian people don't go to church. They really don't. There are no churches there, like of any kind. There are three Baptist missionaries in there, one by us, one in Brussels, one in Ghent. But honestly, as you drive around, like here, you see Assembly of God, you see all these different churches. The only churches you see are Catholic churches, and they're more like for decoration. People don't go. There's no Pentecostals. There's one somewhere, I haven't found it. There's no JW. There's like one JW somewhere. There's one Mormon church, but there's no one goes. I mean, everyone goes out there and rides their bicycles and works out, but no one goes to church. My chiropractor is Belgian, and I was talking to him. He said, "Yeah, we go to church at weddings and funerals. That's all we do, and that's what they do." And it's a very atheist. As one lady said, "We love our religious holidays because we get the day off." It's like none of us go to church, but we all celebrate it afterward. We all celebrate Easter and Ascension or Whit Monday and everything else. Like we don't go to church, but. It's a country that definitely left God. For a country that killed William Tyndale, and that's where the Bible was starting to be written there, because William Tyndale was killed right outside, Brussels. Oh, no, Antwerp. Say Antwerp? He got caught in Antwerp and killed in Brussels. I think that's what it was. It's like an hour from our house. And it's you don't see anything. You don't see anything Christian. It's just dead. It's dead, dead, dead. And even my friend up in Ghent, he has a church up there. He's European, but he does in English. But even like his church has a decent sized church, but they're not Belgians. They're Romanians in there because Europe is very mixed. There's like Romanians and Indians, and what else does he have up there? He's got some Dutch people, and he's got a lot of Middle Easterners, but then maybe like 8 Belgians in the church. So he's got more Romanians than he does Belgians. They just don't go to church, unfortunately. Bryce, did you have anything? Just scratching your whiskers? See if there's any there? There's none yet. I had the same problem, buddy. It's okay. I'm 43 and it took this long. And it's just for the license. I'm just going to shave into Fu Manchu for the license picture, and then I'm going to shave it all off.
Kind of like classic. They want to do nothing.
Pretty much, it is. Well, they don't need anything. They're well off.
I have need of nothing.
Exactly. They're well off. They have their bicycles because they're big into working out. They have their beer because they're big into their beer because it's supposed to be the best beer in the world, as they say. I don't know. I don't drink. They have all their other stuff, and they don't need God. It's actually very heartbreaking. I was talking to one of my coworkers. His name's Colin. Really nice guy. And I start talking to him, and it's kind of my French. I can understand a decent amount of French, pretty good amount of French. I can't speak it as much, but I can talk like a retarded 4-year-old. That's my level right there. Maybe like a 5-year-old. So I can get there. And so I'm talking to him about God, and I ask him if he goes to church, and he's like, "No, I don't go to church." I said, "Why not?" He said, "I don't believe." I said, "Why?" And he said, "Well," he said, "he's grown up. The Catholic church or the Catholic priest was a pedophile." He's like, and he goes, "It's all over Belgium." He said, "It destroyed everyone's faith, and everyone just went away." So, not that Catholic church is good anyway, but it just destroyed everyone. Everyone's like, "If this is what church is like, we don't want anything to do with it." And they've all left because I guess in the 70s and 80s, the pedophiles, the priests were terrible, I guess, all over Belgium. And so, everyone just as a country, they walked away from God. So, it's really sad. And it takes a while for someone to get saved there. This is really cool. Last year, we're allowed to, we call it mailboxing, put tracks in mailboxes out there. So we'll walk down and put tracks in mailboxes. And last year we were, occasionally someone will come take a track and put it back in our mailbox because they don't like the fact that we put the track in their mailbox. But they'll just leave it there. And we had the Fellowship Track League tracks. You know those? And they're bilingual. There's one in French, one in English in the bottom and top. And it has that little note there where you get, like, if you got saved, write it in there. And I came to church and I saw a track stuck in there. And I thought, oh, one of the kids are being goofy. I didn't stop and get it. And one of the kids, like, it sat there for 2 weeks. And one of my kids put their hand in there and pulled it out. And someone, some 74-year-old man, took the time to fill out and said that he got saved and put the track in our mailbox. And then I've never seen him. He drove off, never tried making contact, never didn't leave a number, but he took the time to let us know that he got saved from that track. So that was, you never know. You truly never know. So what my goal has been, there's all these little areas around us, and I've covered about 7 or 8 of the little towns, and I'll take the kids or I'll go by myself, we'll go to the church, and we'll just drop tracks in the mailbox. We'll just keep walking, and we'll walk, and we'll walk miles and miles, kilometers, because we're in Europe, right? We'll walk kilometers, and we'll drop tracks in there, and we don't know what's going to happen. I'm sure we'll see up in heaven someday some of the fruit that we see. We won't see it down here, but we'll see it up there. So I've been really pushing that with my people. One guy named Devon, he told me, he's like, I've never passed out a track before. He's a Navy guy. He's my Navy guy. And he said, this is out of my comfort zone. He's like, I don't really like it. But by the time he left, because he moved last year, he was passing out tracks all the time. He's like, I needed this. He said, this is good for me. So I learned how to pass out tracks here. And I took that as a victory. The fact that I got him to switch to the King James, and I got him to pass out tracks everywhere. So I was like, hey, victories. We'll take them everywhere we go. Anything else? Any other questions? Huh?
Are the farmers still protesting?
No, they're not. They're not protesting. They're always, someone's always striking about something, but they're not protesting.
They gave up on it?
I think they won.
They won?
They won, yes. They won.
They
yeah, they needed to win, yeah.
What they were doing.
The farmer, because there's always a strike about something, always. My car broke down. In February, I went to Germany because I refereed a basketball tournament over there. My car broke down. It took 6 weeks to get it fixed. So, yeah, there you go. That's European mechanics there for you. It took 6 weeks to get it fixed. We rented a car, went back home because I had all the family with me. And I took a train later, like 6 weeks later, I took a train from my place to Brussels. And I got to Brussels, and I was supposed to take a train over to Cologne, Germany. And I got to Brussels, and I found they struck. And everything, like all the trains were shut down. And I went, I was like, what are you guys doing? They're like, oh, it's a strike now. I said, do I get my money back? They said, probably not. It's like, you jerk. I was so mad at them. They stinking commies. Oh, so mad at them. But they're striking every time. They strike, the bus strikes, the train strikes, the firefighters strike, everyone strikes. But last year the farmers were striking. And the farmers, I was on their side. They needed it. because they're passing all these stupid taxes. And so what the farmers did is they all emptied all the manure out of their their barns, drove up to Brussels, and spread all over the government buildings. They put in a manure spreader and just painted the buildings. Just boom, 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 everywhere, all downtown Brussels. It was bad. And then they put other stuff on there and lit it on fire. So that's how they won. Yeah. So if you guys ever want to strike, okay, I know some farmers, okay? Might take a while to get over here, but that's okay. Any other questions or anything you want to know about over there? They're good? Yes, ma'am. What's the weather like? I was just talking to Libby about that. It rarely gets below 30 in the wintertime. It only snows like once, which is really weird because if you look at it, we're above UP, like longitude. Which one? Which one goes this way? Come on, people, where you go? The latitude, there you go. You're not all homeschoolers, okay? Come on, someone was public school here. I know at least one of you guys was. Mrs. Richards said, okay, latitude, thank you. I had to go to the smartest one over there. So latitude, we're above northern Michigan, but we only get snow like once a year, and it rarely gets below 30. And in the summertime, it rarely gets above 80. So I'm dying right now. I'm absolutely dying. I go outside and just sweat like a pig. So then I smell like a European. Lived there for so long. Yes, sir.
Just curious, does the European community follow anything that goes on in America? Do we lead and do they follow, or we pretty much, they don't even think about us?
It depends. Some of them love, like I have one coworker that loves President Trump. I have others that hate him. They just kind of do their own thing. They don't care. They really don't follow anything. They just kind of do whatever. We have a king. We don't have a president or anything. We have a king, so. And he doesn't really do anything. He just likes picking flowers. Really, that's what he's known for. He's the lover of beauty. So he obviously doesn't look in the mirror because he ain't beautiful. No. But we have, I think his name's King Philip. I think that's who it is. But yeah.
The inroads in America now are really changing. Mm-hmm. Social, communist, Marxist and crazy.
Okay. They had elections last year as well, and we actually swung to the right. They were hoping they'd swing way to the right, and they had a chance, but they kind of swung a little bit right, but not as far. Like Germany has swung really right, Netherlands has swung really right, France has swung really left, Belgium kind of swung center right. So we would like to go a little bit more. There's a guy in there that was wanting to kick all the Muslims out, and they didn't let him win. So. But you would not believe how many Muslims. Seriously, everywhere we go, there's Muslims everywhere. And actually, the women Muslims take tracks very well. That's very. I was surprised. I tend to single them out. I see them. I go after them. Last week, I gave one to a Muslim guy, and he looks at me. He's like, "What's this about?" I said, "It's about heaven." He goes, "Oh, I am Muslim." I said, "I'm sorry, you're not going there." So, and Jen yelled at me. She's like, "What'd you do that for?" I was like, "Well, it's true." I was like, "What you want? Have fun and with your 72 virgins? Come on, what do you want me to say?" So, it's like, "You're not going to make it there, buddy. I'm sorry." So, like, he didn't take the track for some reason. I don't know why. Here's what I said. He gave it back to me.
Maybe but, you need to have a track that says, "Why is Apollo crying?"
But, yeah. you'd be very surprised how many Muslims are there. There are times when you actually feel unsafe. There's parts of Brussels we won't go to just because it is all Muslim. And you see them, they're walking around their little diaper heads and everything else. It's really. France is worse, yes. But we live like 15 minutes from France. So we live where we live, I'm about done. Where we live, everyone speaks French. You go about 30 minutes north, everyone speaks Dutch, which is a terrible language. Digger, 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 digoo, that's about all I speak of Dutch. You go an hour 15 west, it is Flemish. You go hour 15 east, it's German. So yeah, it's crazy. So you never know what kind of person you're getting. And that myth of every European speaks English is, or that stereotype is a complete lie. They do not speak English. It's a complete lie. So the Germans do and the Dutch do, but the French do not. They make you learn French. And if you don't say it perfectly fine, they'd be like, "I don't understand you." It's like, "I know you understand me, okay? I'm saying it 15 times right in front of you." I'm speaking from experience on that one. It makes you a little frustrated. And then they say, "Oh, it's this word." It's like, "That's what I just said 10 times. How did you not get what I just said?" But yeah, that's about all that's going on. Lord's been really good. Ministry's going good. I'm trying to think what else. I can't complain. If I did, nothing changes anyway, right? So, and so I do want to thank you. Yes, sir.
What's the crime like over there?
It's actually incredibly safe. I probably shouldn't say this. Oh, yes. I probably shouldn't say this, but we leave our keys in the door all the time, even when we're gone. Yeah, well, we live way out in the country. Yeah, the Muslims all stay up in their cities. They stay in Brussels, they stay in Mons, they stay in where else? They stay in all the cities. In Antwerp is really bad. But where we live is really safe. Like the biggest crime is graffiti. So there's really no crime whatsoever. So, yeah, we leave our keys in the door all the time. You what? It's okay, that's right. That's as bad as it gets. It doesn't get bad at all. They let their kids walk around everywhere. We'll let our kids go ride bikes everywhere. So there's no problem with that. It's actually safer than America, to tell you the truth. It's kind of weird. We went from Costa Rica, where everything not nailed down, stolen, to over there. Like, oh, I can leave my door unlocked. It's like, I can let the kids walk down the street. No one's gonna steal them. All right, we'll go ahead and pray, and we're good? Well, let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day you've given us. Lord, I'm thankful for the opportunity to talk about Belgium, but Lord, I'm thankful for what you've allowed us to do over there. And I'm thankful for this church that had a big part in my upbringing and how I grew up, and thankful for everyone that, even though I go and I've been gone for 15 years, I come back and I still see people faithfully serving the Lord. I know maybe sometimes the daily grind of life maybe wears you down and gets you tired or gets you discouraged, but Lord, just help them to keep going. Just help them to realize that it will be worth it all, like we just sang the song, when we see Jesus Christ. Life's trials will seem so small, Lord, because everything we go through, like Dad said this morning, is nothing compared to what you've gone through. And we're thankful that we get to bear the title of Christian. We're thankful that we get to carry your name. Help us never to use that name in vain and just act like it really doesn't exist, but help us to be that light you want us to be. Lord, we love you. I ask you to help us to be the Christians you want us to be this week as we go about our daily lives. And amen.